Parsha Ki Sisa. This Parsha, Kindalach, begins with a very special mitzvah, the mitzvah of counting the Yidden. This was the third time that the Yidden were counted. The first time was when Yaakov and his whole family traveled from Eretz Kanaan to Mitzrayim. Then Yaakov and his family were 70 people. The second time the Yidden were counted was when they left Mitzrayim. The Torah tells us that there were 600,000 men. And now, Kindalach, comes the third time of the counting of the Yidden. Now, I want you to know, Kindalach, that this mitzvah was given to the Yidden after the sin of the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf. That's right, Kindalach. Even though we have not yet learned in the Torah the story about the golden calf, we're going to learn about it later in this Parsha, yet the Torah first tells us about the counting of the Yidden that took place the day after Yom Kippur, that is, the day after Hashem has forgiven the Yidden for the sin of the Egel HaZahav. Why did Hashem want the Yidden to be counted now? Well, Kindalach, our Chachamim tell us that this is like the story of a farmer who had a very special flock of sheep. They were such beautiful sheep, and he took such good care of every one of his sheep. But one day, a sickness broke out among the sheep, and many, many of them died. After the sickness went away, and many of the sheep were dead, the owner commanded his shepherds, "Count my sheep to find out how many are left." Yes, Kindalach, the farmer wanted to know how many of his sheep remained alive. The same thing, Kindalach, after the sin of the golden calf, many, many Yidden died, as we're going to learn later in the Parsha. And Hashem, therefore, wanted to find out the number of the Yidden that remained alive. Now, even though Hashem himself knew the number of the Yidden, Hashem did not need to have them counted. Hashem gave this mitzvah for the sake of the Yidden. You see, Kindalach, after the sin of the Egel HaZahav, the Goyim laughed and said, "Ho, ho, ho, look at this nation who, 40 days after saying Maaseh V'Nishma at Har Sinai, they made a golden calf. Hashem will never, ever forgive them for that sin." That is why, Kindalach, Hashem gave the mitzvah of counting the Yidden. And you know, the words that Hashem used is Ki Sisa Esreish B'nei Yisrael. Count the heads of the Yidden. Now, Kindalach, for the word counting, there are many words that can be used in Hebrew. Hashem chose the word Ki Sisa, because the word Sisa also means to raise, to lift up. Ki Sisa Esreish B'nei Yisrael. To raise the heads of the Yidden. This is in order to show that Hashem forgives the Yidden for the sin of the Egel HaZahav. Yes, Hashem explained to Moshe that by doing this special mitzvah, the Yidden will be forgiven. Now, how was this mitzvah done, Kindalach? Hashem explained to Moshe that every Yid should give one coin for the Mishkan. By counting up all of these coins, you will know how many Yidden there are. And by giving these coins, the Yidden would free themselves from the punishment that they could have gotten by the Chet HaEgel, by the sin of the golden calf. So, Kindalach, counting the Yidden by each one giving coins that they gave for the Mishkan, that would also be to raise their heads. That is, that Hashem should forgive them for the sin of the golden calf. Now, Kimelach, when Hashem said to Moshe that every Yid should give a coin, Moshe was afraid. He wondered, what kind of valuable coin will the Yidden have to give in order to save their life? That is, to be freed from the punishment for the golden calf. Hashem might ask that each Yid should give a whole kikar of silver, which weighs as much as 3,000 silver coins. Or maybe Hashem will ask the Yidden to give 100 silver coins. Or maybe 50 silver coins. Or 30. Hashem assured Moshe, it is not as you think, Moshe. You don't have to pay me coins which are worth 100 or 50 or even 30 silver pieces. All I ask of each Yid is that he gives one small coin which is worth only a half of a shekel. That is, Kinderach, just like we have a half-dollar coin. In those days, there was a half-shekel coin. And you know, Kinderach, Hashem showed Moshe a half-shekel coin that he took from under his kisei hakavod, showing Moshe the size and shape of the coin. Hashem said to Moshe, Zeh yitnu, this is the type of coin that the Yidden shall give. Now, Kinelach, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do with all the silver coins that he got from the Yidden? Hashem told Moshe to use it for making the silver adonim. Those are the silver sockets which held up the beams, the walls of the Mishkan. Now, Kinelach, why did Hashem command that only a half shekel coin should be given and not a complete shekel? This is in order to show us that a Yid is only complete when he is together with another Yid. There must be achdus, togetherness and oneness. As long as we are together, then our shekel is complete. But if a Yid is all alone, then he is only half. Another reason, Kinderlach, is because the half shekel coin was worth 10 geiras. Yes, a whole shekel had 20 geiras. So a half a shekel had 10 geiras. And that's why the Yidden gave a half shekel, which is 10 geira, to be forgiven also for the number 10, that is, the 10 commandments which they went against when they sinned with the golden calf. And I want you to know, Kinderlach, that this mitzvah of giving a half shekel for the Mishkan was not only for that first year when the mitzvah was given, but it was for all the years that came after that. Every single year, the Yidden would give a half shekel as a tzedakah, as a contribution for the Mishkan, and later on for the Beis HaMikdash. And do you know what they did with the half shekels all the years after that first year? You know what they used it for the first year, for the sockets to hold up the walls of the Mishkan. But all the years after that, they used the money for the karbanos tzibur, that is, the karbanos that were brought every day of the year for all the Yidden. And in order that we should all have a share in those karbanos, that's why the Yidden gave a half shekel once a year, and from that money they bought the animals which were used as these karbanos. And do you know, Kinderlach, the time of the year when the Yidden would give this half shekel was during the month of Adar. Yes, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, the first day of the month, they used to announce in all the towns in Eretz Yisrael to remind all the Yidden to prepare a half shekel coin for the Beis HaMikdash. And there were special messengers who used to go around from city to city, from town to town, and collect the half shekel coin from all the Yidden. They did this during the month of Adar, that is, from Rosh Chodesh Adar until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, why was it the month of Adar that was chosen to be the month during which the Yidden should give their half shekel? Well, Kindalach, Hashem saw that there's going to come a time in the future that a wicked Haman would go to Ahasuerus and give him 10,000 kikars of silver in order that Ahasuerus should allow him to kill out all the Yidden. That's why Hashem said, let my Kindalach, the Yidden, give their half shekel, their silver coins, before Haman gives his coins to Ahasuerus, so that the Yidden should be saved from his wicked hands. Yes, Kindalach, this is the reason why the half shekel was given during the month of Adar, during the month of the Yom Tov of Purim, when Hashem freed us from the hands of Haman. So we see, Kindalach, that the mitzvah of giving the half shekel is a very important mitzvah. They did two things at the same time. First of all, it was a donation, a tzedakah that we gave for the Mishkan, and later for the Beis HaMikdash. And at the same time, this was the way to count the Yidden. By counting up the coins, we'd find out exactly how many Yidden there are. Hashem said to Moshe, do not count the Yidden directly. Instead, let them each give a half shekel coin, and then count up the coins, and that's how you will know how many Yidden there are. And do you know, Kindalach? The Shulchan Aruch tells us that also when we count Yidden, we are not supposed to count them 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. Instead, we should count them indirectly. That means to count them not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, and so on. There is also another way of counting them, Kindalach, and you may have seen this in shul many times, or maybe in yeshiva. You count them by using the pasuk Hashia Es Amecha. That's right. This pasuk has 10 words. So instead of saying 1, 2, 3, 4, until 10, you use the words of the pasuk. So if you have many children to count, you just use the pasuk Hashia Es Amecha, Uvarech Es Nachlasecha, Ure'en V'nasa'en Ad Ha'olam. If you reach up to the word Ha'olam, you know that you counted 10. And if you have more children to count, you start again, the same pasuk. And do you know, Kindalach? The Rabbi Shlita once explained that the reason that this pasuk was chosen is because this pasuk is a tefillah to Hashem, that Hashem should help the Yidden. Now, even though this was a mitzvah in the times of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, yet there is something that we do in our days to remember this mitzvah. First of all, on the Shabbos, which is before Rosh Chodesh Adar, we read in the shul, after they finish reading the Parsha of the week, they read a few psukim of Parshas Kisisa. That is, the first 6 psukim, which talk about the mitzvah of giving the half shekel. This Parsha is called Parshas Shkalim. And then, Kindalach, There's another thing that we do in order to remember this great mitzvah. That is, on the day of Tanis Esther, the fast of Esther, which is right before Purim, we give $3.50 for tzedakah to remember the half shekel that the Yidden would give in the time of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason why we give $3.50 is because in the Parsha Shkalim it says the word Truma 3 times. And now, Kimalach, the Torah tells us about a very special thing that was to be made for the Mishkan. That is the Kiyayir, a fountain of water which the Kayanim would use when they would come into the Mishkan before they would do any kind of work, any avodah. Hashem gave them a mitzvah of washing their hands and feet. That is, just like we have the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim, washing our hands every day, the same thing, the Kayanim had the mitzvah of washing their hands and feet, and the water was from this special fountain. Hashem commanded that this Kiyayir, the fountain, should be placed between the Mishkan and the large Mizbeach, which was in the Chatzer. It was filled with water every morning, so that the Kohanim could use it to wash their hands and feet. And do you know, Kinalach? This is one of the reasons why we wash our hands, Netilas Yadayim, every single morning. As soon as we wake up, right after we say Moda Ani, we wash Nevelvasser. We wash our hands and get ready to start serving Hashem. That's right. We are like the Kohanim who serve Hashem in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. We are all servants of Hashem, and we all serve Him. And that's why when we wake up in the morning, before we do anything else, even before we get dressed, before we touch anything, we wash Negelwasser. In fact, that's why we are supposed to have the Negelwasser prepared right near our bed, in order that we should not have to walk away from our bed before washing our hands. As the Shulchan Aruch tells us, that a Yid is not supposed to take even 4 steps before he washes Negelwasser after getting up in the morning. That's why the best thing is to prepare, before you go to sleep, a large shisel, a basin, with a large cup, a kvart, with water right near your bed, so that when you wake up in the morning, you have it all ready and prepared for you. So you can wash your hands and immediately start off your day serving Hashem in the best way. And now, Kinalach, we come to the next part of our parsha, which talks about the Shemen HaMishcha. This is a special oil of anointment, which was used for the Kayanim Gedolim and for the Yiddish kings. Hashem told Moshe a list of special spices. Hashem also told him their height and weight. Each spice was to be crushed separately. Then, all the spices were blended and mixed together, and they were soaked in water in order that their very special smell should go into the water, and now the water had this very special smell. Then, olive oil was added to the water, and then all of this together was boiled until the water dried out, and all that was left was the spiced oil. Now this oil was called Shemen HaMishcha, oil of anointment, that was put away in a very special container to be used for a special purpose. It was used to anoint Kohanim Gedolim and the Yiddish kings of the family of David. There was one more thing that the oil was used for. When the Mishkan was built, and all of the kelim, all of the things that were in the Mishkan were made, they were also anointed with this special oil, the Shemen HaMishcha. Now, Kinalach, Moshe Rabbeinu did not make very, very much of this oil. He only made 12 leig, that is, around 2 gallons of this oil. And this amount of oil was enough for all the coming generations. It was still used even in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Later on, Kinalach, when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, this container of oil was hidden away. And do you know when we're going to get it back? That's right. In the time of the coming of Mashiach, we're going to get back this container of oil together with all the other very precious things of the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. Hashem also gave Moshe another mitzvah, the mitzvah of preparing the ketores, very special spices. Hashem told Moshe the names of 11 of the best spices. These spices were supposed to be crushed and mixed together, and a handful of it was burnt every day on the Mizbeach. On which Mizbeach? That's right, the Mizbeach HaKetores. That is the golden Mizbeach that was inside of the Mishkan. Now I want you to know, Kindalach, that one of the 11 spices was called Cheldena. That was the only one that had a bad smell. All the others had a very sweet, delicious smell. Now why did Hashem want that Moshe should take Cheldena and put him among all the other 10 good-smelling spices? If Cheldena has such a bad smell, let's leave him out. Well, Kinalach, this is a lesson for us. Yes, Hashem wants to show the Yidden that in their tefillos, whenever they daven, especially on a fast day, not only should the tzaddikim, who are compared to the good, best-smelling spices, not only should they daven, but also the Yidden who are compared to Cheldena, those who are not yet great tzaddikim, they are not even close to being tzaddikim, even if they didn't do teshuvah yet. And that's why they're compared to Cheldena, the bad-smelling spices. These Yidden, too, should be included in your tefillos. And then Hashem is going to accept all the tefillos together, like the sweet smell of the burning of the ketores on the Mizbeach in the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem will answer our tefillos and give us what we want. And so, Kindalach, that is why Hashem told Moshe to include in the ketores also Cheldena, to show that Hashem loves all the Yidden. And now, Kinalach, the Torah tells us that the Keteris is so halik, it's so holy, that we're not allowed to use it for our own use. We're only allowed to use it for the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. That is, a person is not allowed to take these 11 spices and mix it together in the same measure as used for ketores if he wants to use it for himself. It was only allowed to be made for the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. And our Chachamim tell us, Kinalach, that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a family by the name of Tinas. They were experts. They knew exactly how to prepare the ketores in the best way. But they insisted that the secret of how to make the ketores should remain a secret in their family. They did not tell anybody else how they used to crush and blend the spices to make a perfect mixture of ketores. And now, Kinalach, we come to the next part of our parsha, which tells us how Hashem spoke to Moshe and told him who is going to build the Mishkan. You see, when Moshe was in the Shemayim, Hashem told him about the building of the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that he's going to build it up all by himself with his own hands. As he was about to leave the Shemayim, Hashem said to Moshe, "Even though I showed you how to build the Mishkan, and I showed you how all the parts that are going to be placed in the Mishkan shall be made, you're not the builder who's going to build it. You will be the leader to show them how to do it, but the builder will be someone else." Moshe asked Hashem, "Who then will be the builder of the Mishkan?" "It is Bezalel, the son of Uri, the grandson of Hur. He is the one who's going to build the Mishkan." "Kindalach, who is Bezalel?" "He was the grandson of Hur. Hur was the son of Miriam. He was a great tzaddik. And during the time when the Yidden wanted to make the golden calf, Hur tried to stop them, and they killed him, as we're going to learn later in the parsha. The building of the Mishkan through Hur's grandson, Bezalel, was to forgive the Yidden for killing Hur. This was also a reward for Miriam, the great-grandmother of Bezalel. She deserved that her great-grandson should build the Mishkan as a reward because she feared Hashem. When Pari gave orders to kill the Jewish newborn babies, and she did not listen to Pari, she listened to Hashem. And that's why her great-grandson was the one to build the Mishkan. And do you know how old Bezalel was at that time? He was only 13 years old. Moshe wondered how someone so young in years could be given such a special and great job of building a Mishkan. Hashem showed Moshe that same book that Hashem showed to Adam HaRishon, in where it's written the names of all the Yiddish kings and leaders and prophets, Nevi'im, until the time of Mashiach. And in that book it said the name Bezalel, that he is the one who's going to build the Mishkan. Yes, Hashem let Moshe know that it was decided since the beginning of creation that Bezalel is going to build the Mishkan. Hashem made the Ruach HaKodesh rest on Bezalel, and Bezalel became so smart and understanding that he was able to understand exactly how to build the Mishkan. He knew the secrets by which the heavens and earth were created, and so he was able to create the Mishkan, a job which was just like the creation of the whole world. And you know, Kinalach, just like Moshe was shown what all the parts of the Mishkan looked like, Hashem also showed Bezalel what all the parts of the Mishkan looked like, their size, their shape, and the design of every part. Bezalel worked very, very hard to do exactly as Hashem instructed. That's why the Torah rewards him by connecting his name to every single part of the Mishkan as it was built. Hashem commanded Moshe that he should appoint a helper for Bezalel, that is, Ahaliav from the Shevet Dan. Ahaliav did not do any work on his own, but he helped Bezalel with each part of the building of the Mishkan. Yes, Kindalach, Hashem joined together the artist and builder Bezalel, who comes from the Shevet of Yehuda, and Ahaliav of the Shevet Dan. Yehuda was the greatest Shevet, and Dan was the lowest. By joining them together, Hashem taught the Yidden that every Yid is so precious to Hashem. No matter from which Shevet you come, whether from Yehuda or from Dan, you are precious in the eyes of Hashem, because in Hashem's eyes, the great and the small are equal. Hashem loves every Yid as his own child. And now, Kinalach, we come to the part of the Parsha which tells us about Moshe Rabbeinu being in the Shemayim, getting ready the Luchos to come down and bring it to the Yidden. And then we're going to see what happened with the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf. After Matan Torah, which we learned about in Parshas Yisrael and Mishpatim, Moshe stayed in the Shemayim for 40 days, learning the Torah directly from Hashem himself. Hashem taught Moshe all the rules, how to learn the Torah, and how to explain the Torah, and how to understand all the dinim from the psukim and from each and every word and letter from the Torah. Even though Moshe studied the Torah from Hashem so well, but his mind could not hold in any of the Torah that Hashem was teaching him, all of these rules, he couldn't keep it in his head. After 40 days of studying very carefully, his mind was still blank. He just couldn't take it. He couldn't remember anything that Hashem had taught him. Then Hashem gave Moshe a very special present, a gift. And that was the power to remember the learning of Torah that he has learned. And this teaches us a lesson, Kindalach. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he couldn't remember the learning that he was learning then in the Torah, was hard for him to remember, he didn't give up. He kept on learning another day and another day. Day after day, kept on learning the Torah. And then Hashem gave him the gift. No one should ever say, I can't learn Torah because my head doesn't remember the Torah well. It's so hard for me to remember what I learned. But, Kindalach, Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us that even if you don't remember it now, you keep on studying it. The mitzvah of Torah is to learn it, and you do your best, and Hashem will do the rest. At the end of 40 days, Hashem handed Moshe two sapphire luchos. Those are two beautiful stones, which were the exact same size. And on them, Hashem has engraved the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. Why were the Yidden at that time given the Aseres HaDibros written on Luchos instead of being written in a Torah, with a whole Sefer Torah? Well, the Medrash tells us it's just like a young child who begins learning in Cheder. First, before his Rebbe gives him the Aleph Beis in a Sefer to know how to read, he first makes Aleph Beis on a chart, on a blackboard. And only later, when he knows the Aleph Beis, then he gives him the books to study. The same thing, first Hashem gave the Yidden the Aseres HaDibros on the Luchos, which is like a blackboard. He first shows it to us, and then he's going to give it to us in the Sefer Torah. Now, why did Hashem put the Aseres HaDibros on two Luchos, five on each, instead of putting all ten on one Luach? And the reason is, the Medrash tells us that Hashem wants to show us a very special thing. The two Luchos are for the Shemayim and the Aretz, the heaven and earth, to teach us that the heaven and earth were created only in order that the Yidden should study the Torah and do the mitzvah. Another reason, because the two Luchos are like the Chasan and Kala. Hashem is the Chasan, and the Yidden are the Kala. Another reason why we have two Luchos is for the two Shushvinim. Shushvinim means
those who take the chasen and kala to the chuppah. The chasen doesn't walk by himself. There are two people holding the chasen on each side, both zaydis from one side, and both babis from the other side help the kala. The same thing is Moshe and Aaron were the two shushvinin for the ones that led the Yidden to the chuppah, which means the Torah that they got from Hashem, and that was their chasana with Hashem when Hashem gave us the Torah. Another reason why there are two luchais, one is for Olam Hazeh and one is for Olam Haba, in order to show us that by doing what it says on these luchais, a Yidden would get both worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Now the letters were not only engraved, they mean scratched in on the top of the luchais, but they were carved through and through the stone completely from one side to the other. That if you look at it the other side, you'll see you can read it on both sides. Well, Kindalach, what's about the letters Mem and Samach, Ashlas Mem? If you're going to cut it out completely, the middle of the Shlas Mem is going to fall out. Or a Samach. If you cut it through completely, through and through, then the middle part is going to fall out. Hashem made a miracle that the insides of the Shlas Mem and the Samach were standing by itself by a miracle, and they did not fall out. And the miracle was, Kindalach, another miracle, that if you write on a paper and you turn it backwards, you're going to see all the words backwards. And over here, the words were written on the luchais from one end to the other, and yet if you looked on the other side, everything was straight. And now, the Torah is going to tell us how the Yidden came to the sin of the Egel HaZahav. When the Yidden received the Torah from Hashem at Har Sinai, the Yidden became so special, so halik. They had so much Kedusha. They're the ones who said Nasa V'Nishma. They're the ones who became so halik like Malachim. They became so halik like Adam Arishayim before Adam sinned with the Yetz Hadas. And Hashem said that the Yidden have no more of that Aveira of the Yetz Hadas. It's cleaned out. And no more Yidden are going to die anymore from the Yetz Hadas. Because of that sin, Hashem said that anyone who comes from Adam is going to have to die when the time comes. But the Yidden by Matan Torah became so halik they got free from that sin too. David HaMelech said in Tehillim, Ashrei smimei darech ha'hilchim b'sairas Hashem. Happy are those whose way is perfect, who walk in Hashem's Torah. That's talking about the people of that generation. Of all generations, Hashem chose that generation of the Midbar to receive the Torah, knowing them to be tzaddikim. They were strong in their ruchnius and their neshama, and they had the strongest control and power over the Yetzahara. Who, Kindalach? If so, how did they ever come to do such a sin of the Egel HaZahav? Why didn't Hashem protect them from sin as Hashem usually does for tzaddikim? Hashem always protects tzaddikim from falling into a sin. Well, Kindalach, it is true that Hashem always protects the tzaddikim, and the Yidden in that generation were tzaddikim. But Hashem did this in order to show a lesson for all the generations to come. Because this sin of the Egel Hazav would prove that no matter how far a Yid may go away from Hashem and the ways of Torah, they will always be able to do teshuva. If after a sin which is so bad as the Cheta Ego, the Yid were able to do teshuva, so no Yid can ever say that he's too far away to do teshuva. Also, Kindalach, Hashem gives each one a test according to how great they are. Adam Rishon had his test. He was such a great Halakha person. He had his test, the Eitz Hadas. The same thing Yidden had their great test with the Cheta Ego. The greater the tzaddik is, the greater test he can be tested. Hashem blamed all the people of that generation because they were great tzaddikim and they should have stopped and hold back the bad things of the people who gave gold to make the Getchka, to make the golden ego. Actually, the only ones who bowed down and served this Egel Hazav were the Erev Rav, which were just about 3,000 people. That's all it was, 3,000 people who weren't even really the Yidden. They were Goyim from Mitzrayim, who decided to become Gedim and go along with the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. But being that the Yidden, the Tzaddikim, didn't stop the people from giving their gold, and they didn't stop it, they're all blamed for it. It shows us that a Yid is always supposed to try his best and do his best to stop another person from doing a sin. Now how did the Chet HaEgel take place? What happened? Well, Kindalach, as you remember, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Shemayim to receive the Luchos from Hashem. Before going up to the Shemayim, Moshe told the Yidden, I will return in 40 days before the afternoon. In the meanwhile, Aharon and Miriam's son Hur were in charge of the Yidden. They were like monitors. Now, it was the 16th day of Tammuz, the last of the 40 days. It's already the afternoon, and Moshe is not back yet. Where could Moshe be? When Moshe did not return by the afternoon, the Yidden knew that he could no longer be expected on that day.